All right, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Natalia.
And this is Till Death Do Us Part.
So are you one of those people who say that you're not a good singer, but you're actually decent?
I'm the opposite. I say I'm a really good singer, and I'm not.
Oh, that's too bad. That's too bad.
I know.
We actually have some really good singers in my family.
Really?
Yeah, no, I'm not going to lie. Like, my mom's really good. My brother's really good. Like, I'm decent if I try. Like, I'm not the best, but I'm not the worst.
You can carry a tune?
Yeah, I mean, I did choir in high school. I had a solo a couple of times. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not bad. I can sing.
No big deal.
Yeah, no, not a big deal. I actually, I went to a restaurant, I guess it was right before COVID hit, down the shore. It was this weird little ice cream shop. And they, all the waiters do like these little funny performances. They're all like theater kids. I don't know how to describe it. It's like this, the most bizarre little ice cream place you've ever been to. And
okay.
At one point, they pick on people at the tables to do like improv stuff. And so
yes,
all the ice cream sundaes are named after different movies. And mine was named after The Wizard of Oz. I forget what the name of it was. So my waitress picked on me to stand up and in front of the entire restaurant asked me to sing Somewhere Over the Rainbow. And so I stood up and I sang Somewhere Over the Rainbow, just like a piece of it. And they got, my friend got it on video, and I didn't think I could do it, but I, like, just stood up, and I'm like, well, fuck it, I have to, like, I'm gonna look stupid. I'm like, I'm always that person who's like, no, I'm not gonna do it, I'm too shy, and I'm like, no, fuck it, I'm gonna stand up and do it, and so I did.
Awesome!
It was one of the few times that, you know, I got up and was like, no, I'm gonna do this right now, so yeah, I can carry it too.
That's insane, that is so cool!
Yeah, so.
Good times.
Yeah, good times. My mom loves to tell the story about how her and her siblings were in a musical group. My grandparents, I guess, thought they were going to be like the next Jackson 5 or.
Oh, really?
Like, I don't know, the Partridge Family or something. Yeah, for a while, they were like going around town on like the local television shows, these little children singing like they were in The Sound of Music. It was always my mom's dream that we were going to be little entertainers. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Like
these giant dreams. My brother's in a band, actually, still. So,
yeah,
we're a musical family.
That is so cool. I don't know. My brother's in a band too, and he's the singer. And everyone in my family was always kind of like, Sam is the singer, but it's so cool. And he loves what he does. And they're in Chicago doing what they do. But I did not get that talent. It skipped a sibling. So
you have other talents.
I have other talents, exactly.
You call to the animals. Look how you called to that buffalo
that oh my you sent gosh. Me
the picture of. And the donkey, they just came to you.
Yeah, so I learned a little bit after we left. They're called, there's, I guess, 11 donkeys there at that park. And they're called the begging burros. And it's one of the few animals that they don't mind if you feed crackers or apples or carrot or like whatever. And had I known that, I would have brought some food, but they were just like across the field. And so I rolled my window down and I wanted a better picture. And they all were like staring at me like, what's this white lady doing? Like, what is she doing? And so I was like, I made a cat noise. Like I was meowing at them. And sure enough, the biggest donkey came right up, and I was like, oh, wow, she's getting a little close. Yeah. Okay, she's getting closer. And I was like, do we leave? I'm like, well, she's not angry. She just wants to come up to the car and see what's up. But then she was like rubbing her face all over the windshield.
Yeah. She was just all over it. She wanted to get in the car.
She did. If the window was down, she would have shoved her head through the window. And I was just like, I had no idea. And she was huge. I had no idea how big donkeys actually were. For some reason, I thought they were small. Like, yeah. I don't know, like a small horse or something. Yes. But it was like huge. And I was kind of intimidated, to be totally honest.
Yeah, but she looks super friendly. I definitely would have rolled down the window and been like, come here, I'm taking you home.
It was so cool. We were not, there weren't that many people there. And I think that's why we saw like so much activity, because I only saw like 4 other people that whole like morning. And awesome. We also saw, I could post the video because it is so amazing. It's a coyote. And he was just chilling on the side of the road. And then I was like, oh, he's going into his den. There's probably like babies in there. And out is, what are they called? Not a wolverine. What are those things badger? Called? Badger. Yes. Out ran a badger. I'm like, oh shit, something's going to go down. But then they started playing. They were like doing chase. It was the coolest thing ever. And the coyote was like jumping over the badger, and the badger would run and then he would run, and they kind of were like just enjoying, you know, the sunny morning. And I was like, no one's going to believe unless if we record this. So we started recording, and then later on when I was watching the videos, we have the most hilarious like hip hop music in the background. That's it's like perfect. Cardi B or something. Awesome. And I was like, this is the worst music to have in the background of this video.
No, I disagree. I think that's perfect. That's who would know that they were friends, that they were going to just be playing together. I would not know that those animals are going to be chilling.
I was like, oh shit, someone's going to eat someone. Mm-hmm. And so I just kind of waited for a second, and they were having the best time. They weren't bothering the like prairie dogs. They were just running around, checking out, you know, what was in the snow. And it was like a Disney movie. Swear to God.
I love it.
Yes. So very cute. I will definitely post those videos. I'll take the sound off, or maybe I'll leave it.
No, don't take the sound off. You'll leave that sound just the way it is. You post it with that music, please. I think that will make the video. Fitting.
It's so fitting. But yeah, it's just been, there actually isn't any snow in South Dakota right now. There is like where we were, just because I don't think they plow or the sun hits it, because it's like in the woods. Mm-hmm. But it's just like kind of dreary and everything's brown and dead.
Yeah.
It's like those, that winter vibe.
Yeah.
If it was snowing and pretty, it would be different, I feel like.
Yeah. It's cold here, but same thing. I mean, like the trees are dead. Everything's dead. But no snow yet.
Right.
Typically in Jersey, we're not going to really see snow until like February. That's when we usually start getting hit hard with the snow. I mean, it could come at any time, but that's usually when we start with the big snowstorms.
Mm-hmm. For sure. I remember anytime it snowed when I was living in New Jersey, every time it snowed, everyone freaked the hell out, because I didn't understand until it actually was snowing. And it's because it doesn't snow for so long. And then once it finally does, it's all ice and like slush, and the whole like town just shuts down. Like school's out. They just call it out for the next day. Like, we all left work early, like it was going to be the end of the world. And I was like, it's not that big of a deal. There's nothing going on. And then once it did hit, I was like, oh, now I see.
Yeah, the ice is the worst. It's
so bad.
Yeah. So we'll see. It was funny. I was on Thanksgiving talking to our family members, and they've moved here from Israel, and it's going to be their first winter here, and they don't have any experience with like snowstorms. So I was to explain to the wife, you know, you need to go get a snowblower and bags of salt. And I was trying to explain, I'm like, don't wait. If you wait until it gets colder and we start getting snow, there won't be any. You'll go to the Home Depot and they will be sold out. Like, now's the time to get it. Now's the time to buy the bags of salt. If you wait, they will be sold out. Like, they have no idea what's coming. I'm like, you are in for a big surprise. It's going to be eye-opening for you. This is not the pleasant part of living in New Jersey. This is when I want to leave.
Right?
This is the perfect time to take vacations.
Oh, my gosh. So are they enjoying living in the States now, or?
Yeah. I mean, so far, they're enjoying it. They're living in a very nice part of Jersey, so they're loving it. They, you know, they moved here for work, and their kids are in nice schools. They're in, like, nice little burbs with, like, the white picket fence and the streets with the trees. It's a very different environment for them. So they're loving it. They love being, you know, going into New York City on the weekends and having all of this new stuff around. So they like it.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I'm sure the kids will love it, especially when they're older and they want to go see shows or just...
My God, if you can afford it. Holy cow. Can I tell you something? So next week is Morgan's 12th birthday.
Now, yeah.
As the kids get older, it becomes sort of a little tricky to figure out what to do for their birthdays. They sort of fall out of that phase of wanting like the big birthday parties with the balloons and the bouncy houses. And so I thought, you know what, maybe we'll go see a Broadway show. Like, that would be something nice to do.
That would be nice. Yeah.
Shit. Yeah. Okay. Except that I'm going to have to empty my bank account. Those tickets, if you want anything that's not like the back of the house in the nosebleeds, then it's so freaking expensive. Even if at like 3 o'clock on a Wednesday, those tickets start at, I'm not even joking, $190 a person.
Really?
Oh my God. And that's not even, I'm not talking about to go to Hamilton or to any of like the most popular shows. I'm talking about like the ones you haven't heard of. Okay.
Wow. That's insane.
It is insane. And you know, it's at minimum, even if we just went, you know, mom, dad, and her and left all the other kids out, that's already a huge chunk of change. And, you know, you figure you want to get food, drinks. You're not just going to go watch the show and leave.
Souvenirs.
Absolutely. You're going to get snacks and drinks and, you know, you're going to want dinner in the city. I immediately was like, okay, maybe this is not going to be it. It was just.
Oh, my God. Have to reevaluate.
I wonder why
prices have gone up so much. It's not like people don't see Broadway shows anymore.
I don't understand if they're trying to gain back from all the time they were closed during COVID. If it's just the demand is so huge. I don't know. I mean, it could have been the shows that I was looking up. You know, she's not a baby, and we have gone to see a lot of shows that are long running. So, you know, I didn't look to see what the tickets are now for things like Wicked and Lion King. Like, we've been to see all those. I've seen Phantom a million times, even though she hasn't seen it. Like, she wouldn't like that. So I was looking for like very specific shows. So maybe it was the shows I was looking up. I don't know. So... like at one point I was like, oh, look, these tickets are only $80. But then they were like literally the last row in the back.
Oh, my God.
I was like, absolutely not.
Like, I saw Wicked in the city and I only had one ticket. And my mom was like, I'll just get one from like a scalper or someone. And it was the shadiest shit ever. And of course, everyone at like the ticket booth was like, we're not going to honor it if they sell you like a fake ticket. Like, we're not stupid. Yeah. And I was like, Mom, it's your money if you want to do it. But like, this is what I came here to do. Yeah. And so she was like, fuck it, I'll do it. It worked. It was like the only time, it was the most sketchiest thing. It was like some dude, he looked like he was homeless. I swear to God, he must have stolen that ticket.
Yep.
I don't know how it worked out for her, but I was like, this isn't going to work. She's going to waste her money. It's going to like ruin the day. And I was like, I can't even watch. This is painful. But, and even the people who were working at like collect or scanning the tickets were like, that was weird. Wow. That's suspicious.
You know, I didn't even think to go looking for like some kind of, you know, person who's selling them off the main site. I just looked up the main site.
I'm sure there's got to be like last minute tickets or something.
Maybe. We'll see. I'll let you know how it works out. We planned some other stuff. If I can get last minute tickets to something, great. If not, I'm not going to worry about it. We just came back from this vacation and spent all that money. So I'm like, listen,
true.
If you don't go to a Broadway show, you'll live.
I was going to say, it's a hard month to have a birthday in December.
Yes. Yes.
Because of everything that happens before and after.
It's a tough month to have a birthday. It's always a tough month on the wallet. We have her birthday and her sister's birthday are back to back, one day after the other.
Oh, wow.
Yep. And, you know, the month with the holidays, it's always been a tough month. And that's just the way it is. We've accepted it.
I get it. So, you know what is kind of a cool, I've always wanted to do this. I have no idea how much tickets are, but going to see Mannheim Steamroller, it's for all ages and it's like a rock concert. And everyone that I know that has gone, I know it's all like Christmas music, but everyone has loved it. It's like a good couple hours. People of all ages, like, I don't know if like grandmas and grandpas would like it because it's so loud and intense, but I don't know if that would be a cool thing to see.
No, I don't know. I've never heard of it. I'll have to look it up.
Yeah, it's really cool. So yeah, they do like holiday music, sure. But they do like electric guitars and they have like a huge band to do it. And it's like a light show. And I've heard really good things. I literally like if they were coming to South Dakota, I would definitely go.
Okay. I will look them up. I mean, look, this is what we've always told the kids. You can't avoid, and you really shouldn't, but you can't avoid it anyway. Christmas is everywhere this month. Mm-hmm. And there's no denying the lights are beautiful. The decorations are beautiful.
Sure.
The music's everywhere. And a lot of it is nice music. So what we've always told them is it's like going to a birthday party. It's not your birthday, exactly. But you can enjoy the party. There's nothing wrong with enjoying the season. It's not a big deal. And it's so secular at this point. It really, like, enjoying all of this has nothing to do with religion at this point. Yeah. So I really don't care. And I've never made them feel bad about enjoying it. I feel like that just makes it seem more like, ooh, so it's taboo. It's dark. It's like the parents who don't let their kids eat candy, those kids are going to sneak candy. So I'm not gonna do that.
I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with like enjoying the season, like the festivities. I mean, who cares?
I don't. We go to people's Christmas parties. We've hosted ugly sweater parties. It doesn't matter. Enjoy. So all right. I'll look up that show. I think, you know, I'm pretty sure that my mother-in-law was a Rockette for a little while. Okay.
That's so cool.
There you have to go for that. Yeah. I mean, she did modeling when she was younger. So, and she has got those long legs. So I'm pretty sure she was a Rockette for a little bit.
That is so cool.
Yep. So, do we have any housekeeping? Is there anything going on?
The Spotify Wrapped. I looked at it for Till Death Do Us Part, and I am so surprised. I tried downloading some of the images, but they're not downloading to my phone so I can post them on social media.
Okay.
So I was gonna just do screen. I don't know how I'm gonna make it work, but
Screenshots.
I am so surprised at like the awesome people that are listening, because just between 2021 and 2022, even though COVID, everything that has happened, there's been like so many amazing positive things that have happened with the podcast. And so I was trying to share it on our stories to like thank people, but apparently I don't know how to use an iPhone anymore.
Yeah, they're so
It's really cool.
complicated now. They don't work for
I
anything.
suggest checking out the Spotify Wrapped. That's the only housekeeping I have, because it's kind of exciting when they like show
Everybody's
you
doing
the
it.
year. Yeah, it's fun. I don't know. I'm a nerd like that.
Yeah, no, I love looking at everybody's, seeing what everybody else is listening to. I very much enjoyed seeing what I listen to the most. So it's fun. I think it's very fun that they keep track.
Did anything surprise you when it showed you like this is how who you listen to the most? Here's how many minutes you've listened to it.
No, nothing was surprising other than I realized it definitely is going to change for next year because my top two were still true crime podcasts. And I
Oh, nice.
realized that's not going to be that way for next year. But no, I was not surprised. I listened to a lot of minutes of podcasts. I think I had 82,000 minutes
Oh my
listening
gosh.
to podcasts. Yeah, that's a significant chunk of my life.
I was surprised at how many of my friends are closet Swiftie and Harry Styles fans. That's everyone's like number one and number two. And I'm like, you clowns, always saying you've never heard of this music,
But why
and
are
it's
they in the
like your number
closet?
one.
What's wrong with liking Taylor Swift or
Exactly.
Harry Styles? I'm sorry, why are you in the closet about this?
I love Harry Styles. I think he's adorable.
And I mean, it's good music. What's wrong with you guys? Why are you hiding this? Is it not
Exactly.
cool to like them? Did I miss a memo?
I think that they are thinking that either it's like a dude or they're too old to listen to it. And I'm like, oh, come on. Good music is good
No.
music. And
No, we're
even
not
if
too
you're a
old.
dude, Harry Styles is hot. I don't
Yes.
care what anyone says.
Yes. Actually, you know what's funny? First of all, no, we're not too old to listen to Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift is our generation. It doesn't belong to the younger
Exactly.
kids. She's our generation. And actually, I was thinking about this. I was thinking, you know, Taylor Swift is going to be like Cher. She's going to be 70 years old up on stage. And
Right.
our grandkids are going to be like, oh my God, why are you listening to that? That's so old. And we're going to be like, you don't know. She's had such a long career. We've been listening to her since she was a teenager. And they're going to be rolling their eyes at us.
Yeah,
So,
talking about all of the like conspiracies with her music, with all
yeah,
of her ex-boyfriends, and they're gonna be like, oh my God,
absolutely.
you're so old.
Yes. That's she's one of the greats. She's going to be around forever. So, yeah, no shame there. Don't keep that hidden, guys. Be proud.
Exactly. Honestly, I've had the worst knee pain, especially at night. And so when I use the CBD topical lotions, I feel so much better and I can sleep comfortably at night. And I love it because to me, it's a little bit safer than using other pain relief medications. Nirvana CBD doesn't have any THC. This stuff is made of 100% hemp and amazing for a bunch of uses. Whether you take gummies, use topical lotions like I do, soft gels, or even tinctures. Their website is super informative in assisting shoppers on what will help with your needs, educating on which is best for what, like sleep pain, or even recovery. The website has great resources so shoppers feel comfortable and safe buying their items online. Nirvana CBD is made in the U.S., third-party lab tested, safe for you, and they even have items for pet care as well. How amazing is that, right, Goggles? Goggles is also amazed. So head to nirvanacbd.com and get free shipping on orders over $50.
Okay, since I just came back from a cruise, I have a story that has to do with cruises. It has to do with a woman from New Jersey, too. My sources are from the New York Times, the Chicago Tribune, and the New York Post, and also the Trentonian. So to really understand what happened in this story, I need to give a little background on our main character, Julie Nist. Julie's maiden name was Scully, and Julie came from a sad, broken home. Her mother, named Julia, is 100% Indigenous American of the Navajo tribe. She grew up in New Mexico on the largest Native American reservation, named Four Corners, and she left the reservation soon as she hit 18, and she was just a wild spirit. Wanted to be different, wanted to get out there and experience like everything that was beyond the borders of what she knew. And she married the complete opposite of herself, this all-American white boy named John. The thing is, Julia suffered from postpartum depression. She gained a lot of weight after she had Julie, and her husband became very uninterested, spent all his time at work. And when he was home, he doted on his second child. She had his son, Johnny, after Julie. And he ignored Julie completely. So he was all about, oh, this is my boy. Didn't care about having a daughter at all.
When was this? Do you know what year this all started? Only because I feel like the postpartum depression is only now something that people are really understanding.
Yes. Like in a- so she had Julie in 1968.
Mm.
So I guess not a lot of knowledge or at least awareness that people were talking about out loud at that time.
Yeah. Those were women's troubles.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Best summation of the tragedy that was Julie's childhood is what happened at her 9th birthday party. Her mother caught her husband, John, making out with their neighbor right in the yard. Like, looked out the window at the birthday party, saw him in the side of the yard making out with the neighbor. So she goes out, starts screaming at him. John doesn't say anything, goes upstairs, grabs a bag, and leaves the house. Doesn't ever come back. Like, that was it for him. He's just like, peace out.
What a bold-ass move.
Yeah. So, I mean, at that point, he had been checking out over the years, just been pulling away, less and less engaged, been having, you know, affairs already. And that at that point, he was just like, okay, I'm done here. Little Julie watched this from the window at her own birthday party.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. It was her birthday party. Like, yeah. Oh, my God. Every birthday she has from then on is probably like not enjoyable.
Yes.
To say the least.
Yeah. I just think I'd never want to celebrate a birthday ever again.
Yeah.
I just want us to see this in hindsight that Julie had deep emotional issues around self-image. She saw how her mother's weight gain and how that affected her relationship with her father. That really impacted how she viewed herself as she was maturing, how that relates to men and relationships, infidelity, abandonment. So I just want us to keep that in mind. And knowing this, let's jump to Julie's life when she really started to spread her own wings, leaving high school, going into college. I'm going to say something that's going to piss off a lot of people, but I'm going to say this anyway. Not all victims were nice people when they were alive. Sorry, not sorry. I myself hope that when I die, no one at my funeral calls me a ray of sunshine. Stephanie, I hope you let everyone know I was crazy. I maybe was funny, but I can be an absolute bitch. So here's the thing. From what I researched, Julie was not a nice person.
She did not light up a room.
Well, okay, so she was charming. However, she did really mean things. I'm going to go through a lot of examples that I found that just made me not like her. That seemed like she was selfish and manipulative and really just the type of person who was concerned with what she wanted all the time and using other people to get what she wanted. And like also, yeah, but also a violent person. So, yeah, I just, okay, well, here, we'll go into it.
Okay.
She dropped out of high school because she was bored.
Because she was bored?
Yes. So here's the thing. She wasn't dumb. She had a photographic memory. If she would crack open a book, she could take tests and pass the work. But it meant she was very unchallenged in school. So she just decided, I'm going to drop out. And then later, like, she would go back, take a test, like, try to get, like, degrees to, like, move on. But she kept getting bored and just, like, abandoning these things. Like, her parents would try to push her to go back. She'd try to go back, and then she would be like, nah, I don't want to do this. Never mind. So she had also commitment issues, like following through with things. And
well, she sounds also, like it.
Yeah.
Because anytime she just gets bored, she leaves.
Yes. She gave off this real vibe that, okay, the rules of life don't apply to me. I can do what I want. And she was very beautiful. And I think that this gave her the, she walked around knowing that she had pretty privilege.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Her indigenous roots gave her a uncommon edge to her looks, and it made her irresistible to a lot of men and women. She was magnetic. She was the type of person who flirted with everybody, but it was more out of habit, not because she was attracted to them or because they meant anything to her. She was just that person that, you know what I mean? Like, they walk into a room and they flirt with everybody.
She's a tease.
Yes. She married young, but she partied all the time. She would leave her husband at home, divorced him after barely 2 years, and told her parents that she didn't like that he stayed at home and smoked pot. That was too boring for her.
I feel like she should have known that before going in.
I feel like she did. Yeah. I feel like she did. And I feel like because that was too settling and she wanted like a more risque lifestyle, a party lifestyle, she just jumped ship.
Okay. What if?
Yeah. And like I said, she's also violent and impulsive. She once punched a guy at a hockey game. And she told her friends that her only regret is that she forgot to take off her mittens and that it softened the blow.
Oh, God. All right. She sounds like a piece of work. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, she's got a lot of things going on. Then she marries her second husband. She marries her second husband, a millionaire named Tom Nist. Oh, not Tom. What am I? Oh, my God. Tim Nist.
Tim Nist. Okay, cool.
Yes. And she once saw him. He was waiting for her at a bar. When she walks into the bar, she sees that at the bar, he's talking to another woman. He's not got his arm around the other woman. He's not been buying drinks for this other woman. Nothing crazy. But she walks in, sees him talking to this other woman. She walks up and she punches Tim in the face.
Wow. Jeez.
He still marries her. They stay together. He's all right with it.
I wonder if he, like, was super, I don't know, was he, like, a glutton for punishment or something? I don't know.
You're going to see, Tim seems like the most patient person on this planet. And the affection that he has for Julie seems to just have no bounds. He has just this overwhelming affection and patience. Maybe he just really saw her as this broken creature and understood her on a level that I can't see. I don't know. But it seems like he tolerated everything and anything that she did. They're married. Okay. Later on, when she's pregnant with her daughter, Katie, she drinks and smokes throughout her entire pregnancy.
Wow.
Yeah. This is in the 90s now. So by this point, we definitely knew that this was going to hurt the baby.
Yeah.
So this is when I'm saying, you know, the selfishness, the not wanting to do anything for anyone, just wanting to always do what you want to do.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say, oh, Julie was a nice lady, because no, I really don't feel that she was. She was deeply troubled, but I don't think that's a free pass to acting in all these ways. And that's not to say that she deserved anything she got. We're not victim blaming. That's not my point. I'm just saying that we don't have to paint every victim in pretty colors just because they got murdered. Just saying. I just felt saying. Like everything I read, everything I heard was like, oh, you know, poor Julie, she was so nice. I'm like, wait, but why are you saying she's nice? Like everything she's saying
is very nice.
No, she's not nice. So that's just, I want to just put that out there. I do not think she was a nice person at all.
Yeah.
Anyway. Tim was a little bit older than Julie. He was 11 years older. But he lavished her with his money. He let her call all the shots. He just really wanted to run his business. And when he was home, he liked to build model rockets. And he was really into Civil War reenactments.
Interesting. He's a very specific type of dude.
Yes. That is him. Julie was Julie. Yeah, very controlling. So whereas he's laid back and lets her do anything and everything, she didn't want him to be around anyone but her. So for example, she forbade him from hiring a female secretary.
Oh.
The one that he did have when she got together with him, she harassed so badly that the secretary quit. But Tim doesn't say anything to her. He, like, didn't care. So Julie then says, you know what?
Is he just a pushover?
I don't know. I didn't get that vibe. It doesn't seem like he's a weakling, but almost like he just was very much going along with everything. But he doesn't give off this persona of being not... Like, if you saw him or heard him, he does seem like a confident businessman. It's very strange. Like, he's a multimillionaire. He's running this business and was for a long time before she came along. It's almost like he finds her amusing.
Interesting.
I don't know how to put it into words.
I mean, sometimes complete opposites just they fit together. Maybe they complemented each other in a certain way that just worked for them. I'm not sure.
guess. Yeah, but I mean, so it's not, it didn't seem like that she was bullying him, but it's almost like he saw her behaviors and he saw them almost like an, aw, okay. I see what this is really about. It's about your deep-seated insecurity. Okay. So, it was strange, but he let her do it. She said, no, I'm going to be your secretary. And he was like, okay, fine.
All right.
Yeah. Except Julie said, well, this is not enough for me. I want to be a model now. So she starts entering all these beauty pageants. And he supports her, even though she won't let him be around any women. She goes out there and starts modeling in bikini contests and a flirt with everyone. And he's like, sure, do you. I just want to build my rockets at home.
That's crazy. I mean, I have a problem with people who want to hold standards against people that they don't even follow. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the double
Like,
standard.
exactly.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't want him to be around other people because you have this insecurity, you should, number one, probably go to counseling. And also, then you should be also reining yourself back and not have this double standard where you can do whatever you want. It just seems supremely unfair.
Or be putting yourself in situations that can be like questionable.
Yeah. But as far as everybody around them was concerned, they said that although she was, this flirtatious person putting herself out there, that she was loyal to Tim and he knew that. So he let her have this beauty pageant lifestyle and was very supportive of her. He threw all this money at it for her to run in all these shows. She ends up on page six of the Trentonian. She became sort of this mini celebrity, this local celebrity, like the OG of Real Housewives of New Jersey. I think she was even on a
Jeez.
billboard in their town. Yeah. So Tim doesn't seem concerned about her modeling in bikinis everywhere. And they start going on these annual cruise trips. It's like their thing. Tim and Julie would sail off, but I feel like they went on separate vacations.
Really?
Yes, because Tim wanted to nap and do inside activities and chill. That's not what Julie wanted to do. She wanted to
Yeah, she wants
be,
to party.
yes, she wanted to go wild. She wants to be in her bikini by the pool. She would leave Tim in the cabin at night, dress up in mini
Oh.
dresses, and hang out all night in the casinos and the clubs.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And I know. Some people look at this and say, oh, well, that's mature. They trust each other and they do what they want. And maybe it is. But there's just something
Hey,
about it.
I definitely, if that works for you guys, like that's fine.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. I mean, well, we'll see where this goes, but it just seems kind of
you're on
cold.
vacation together.
Right? If you.
I just see so many red
Yes.
flags.
Yes. I mean, I understand doing something separately, and that's okay when you want to do something separately. That's
Okay,
okay.
okay.
But it just seems like the whole time you're not together. And
That's what's
if you
weird to
want to do
me.
different things, why not just pick a different kind of vacation?
Right? Or like have a friend trip and then do a vacation together some other
Yeah,
time.
I don't know. It's just. There's something that seems sort of uninterested in the way that Tim lets her go prancing around like this. I know it reads off as super confident, but I think that to Julie, subconsciously, It felt like he didn't care. So she kept pushing the envelope, like, how far can I go before he will notice me?
She wanted a reaction out of him, and he wasn't going to do it because he's just not that type of dude.
Right. So I think maybe he was mature. I don't think she was mature. I think she had all these deep-seated issues. This is how they presented themselves. And whereas he thought, well, I should let her live how she wants, and that's the appropriate mature thing to do, he didn't realize that that's not what she needed. It's like how when you have a child that doesn't have any boundaries, and children need boundaries. They need to feel safe, because when anything goes, it's chaos. They don't feel independent and trusted. That comes later when you've provided a safe childhood. But when you take a child that's had an unsafe childhood and has had chaos and has all these problems, all these traumas, and you just have like parents who never gave a shit about them, and they have all of this, like when you had these latch kid keys, kids that just never had any supervision, they look independent, but they grew up just having more issues because it just felt like nobody ever cared about them. And I think that's what Julie felt deep inside was, all right, nobody cares what I do. And with her daddy issues, she was looking for all this external validation. And so it was almost like she was acting out.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I feel like she was kind of prompting Tim to say, hey, I know who you are. I'm cool with that, but we're a couple. You should be acting like we're a couple and not a single woman.
Yeah. I don't think he would ever say that, though, from the vibe I'm getting about him.
No. He wanted to be understanding, and he thought he was doing the right thing. So I'm not, I mean, I understand he thought he was making the right call. I think that's a very tough situation. It's just my opinion, but you're going to see it did not go well. So Julie becomes pregnant with Katie. Everything changes.
Oh, wow.
At first, it was cute. They're happy. Julie has the little pot belly. She thinks it's adorable. Then she starts to gain more weight. The pregnancy hormones are going berserk. And looking back, I think she started to sink into a depression even before her daughter was born.
Oh.
Now we know with some research that depression and even postpartum depression can run in families. And seeing how her mother was, I definitely think that was a factor for her. Because after Katie was born in November of 1996, Julie went into a terrible postpartum depression.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah. She was feeling very badly about how her body had changed. And she was hyper concerned that she wasn't going to be able to lose the weight and get her body back into the shape that she wanted for this modeling career that she had built up before the baby.
I'm sure the drinking and smoking didn't help.
No, it didn't. And what happened is Julie starts going out. She starts leaving the baby with Tim at home and just starts going out at night to party.
Yikes.
Yeah. She starts drinking heavily and also starts using drugs. Tim doesn't know that, but she starts using a lot of drugs, especially a lot of amphetamines and coke.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. One thing that she does is reconnects with her mother. She had sort of broken off ties for a long time because of how her childhood had been. It had just been a lot of ugly fighting between her parents after the divorce. Her mother had been just mean to the kids a lot after the divorce, had like bad mouthed their father all the time. And so She had distanced herself from her mother, but now with the baby, she wanted help. She wanted to reconnect. So her mom, Julia, came to stay with them and live with them. And I can't really say if Julie was also feeling some kind of way about feeling scared about being a mom. Maybe she wanted her mother to show her how to be one. But either way, it didn't work out well.
Yikes. Okay. Shoot.
Yeah. Julia criticized every little thing that Julie did with the baby. Yeah.
Well, there was a lot to criticize, but still, that hurts worse when it comes from, like, your mom, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and if you're already depressed, it's just, it's not going to be helpful. And, I mean, if reading through everything, I don't know why she would think that her mother, who had raised her in a way that was sort of detached and verbally abusive and mean, I don't know why she would think that now her mother would come in and be a nice person. I mean, it sort of seems like she should have known her mom was going to come in and be a kind of way with her. Maybe she thought her mom would have changed. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But her mom criticized everything, how she would clean, how she would cook, what she did with the baby. So her depression just worsened.
Oh.
So that is where she is with the alcohol, the drugs, the drinking. This is her emotional state when she and Tim go on their annual cruise in November of 1997. This is the cruise that is going to change her life forever. It is her downfall. The Galaxy Cruise was a Caribbean cruise, and it was the maiden voyage for a young Greek sailor, 21-year-old George Skiadopoulos.
Huh.
Yeah. George set eyes on Julie. She was 29 at this point, and the moment she stepped onto the ship, he decided he wanted her right away.
Good for him.
I mean, she was beautiful. He saw that she was classy, well-dressed, wealthy. And a little tea. The crew members do have spicy interactions with patrons sometimes. But no one talks about it because obviously that's against the rules. It's not supposed to happen. What's amazing to me is that he was bold enough to think he was going to do this right under her husband's nose. Again, I think that he probably thought he could pull it off because she was by herself a lot.
Yeah.
So he saw that Tim's do what you want attitude left her to be around the ship all the time on her own. And it just gave this impression maybe that their marriage wasn't that great or that he could, you know, sneak his way in. So from the get-go, he saddles up to her, starts charming her. George tells her he's an engineer.
Oh, are you there?
Oh, yep, I'm here.
Oh, no, did I lose you?
No.
Shoot.
I'm here. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Hello? Can you hear me? Hey, I'm still here. Okay, can
Are you
hear
back?
Me?
I can hear you now. That was weird.
Okay. What's the last thing you heard?
That Julie was kind of about to be hit on.
All right. He sets his sights on sailor. Julie by George the Greek sailor.
Yes.
So he tells her he's an engineer. But he's classified as a third class engineer. He's basically a glorified pool cleaner. His duties include maintaining the pools and occasionally keeping lookout. He's not even what most people would consider conventionally good looking. However, when your self-esteem is plummeted and you're hungry for validation, your standards drop. So George, with his receding hairline and his bad teeth, charmed Julie. He latches onto her, spends every minute of the cruise by her side. And Julie just falls head over heels for this guy.
Wow. Even with the bad teeth and hair.
Even though he's going bald at 21. She's just into it. Yeah. I mean,
she just wants male attention.
She just wanted this attention. And this is why I really think that if Tim had just showed a little bit of, hey, no, I don't want you to be on your own, I want you to hang out with me, that she would have snapped back to attention. And because this guy was on top of her, she just went for it. But he was an absolute fuckboy. He wanted her for his money. He was sleeping with other crew members. He was not into it because he had like genuine feelings for her. But Julie didn't see this. She was flattered. She thought it was adorable that he acted jealous of other men. It made her feel good. So,
okay,
that calm confidence that Tim had seemed bland and unexciting to her. When they get back from the cruise, Julie starts telling all her friends how she's fallen in love with this Greek cruise worker.
Oh my God.
Yes. They start writing letters to each other. And George would even call the house. Get this. Sometimes he would call the house. Tim would pick up, say hello to George, and pass the phone to Julie.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
What is going on?
So here is where I think Tim was too laid back in this attitude about letting Julie, you know, quote, be herself, or whatever you want to call it. There is a point when you are absolutely within your right as a partner to say, hey, what the fuck is going on? This is weird. This isn't right. Yeah, this makes me uncomfortable. This doesn't seem like this should be going on. This isn't normal. I absolutely get that people can make friendships as adults, even with somebody of the opposite sex. I'm not saying that just because she made friends with a guy that there's something illicit going on. However, this is bizarre that she is getting phone calls all the time from a guy she met on a cruise, not somebody she took a class with, not somebody that she works with. Like, it's just, Tim should have been asking some questions.
Yeah, like, where are you, Tim?
Right.
Maybe Tim had something going on also, so he didn't care.
I mean, it's possible. Anything's possible. We don't know the inside of any of these, you know, relationships. True. But it really feels like everybody says that Tim wasn't like that. that he was just really confident, really laid back, always had this like very confident attitude about, no, we're loyal to each other and I'm just going to go about my business. He just was really into what he was into. Like, huh. Nobody said he was having any affairs. He never went out anywhere. He was a real homebody.
Wow.
I mean, it's possible. Anything's possible. But from what everybody says, he was not doing anything on the side himself.
Okay.
So I'm going to go quickly over what happened over the next few months. Julie convinces Tim to take her on the exact same cruise a few months later.
Okay.
So now Tim starts getting annoyed because it's the same itinerary. He's like, why do we want, you know, we could go anywhere. I'm a millionaire. Like, let's go on a different cruise, a different place. She's like, no, I'm going to go on the same cruise. Of course, because she knows George is working that boat.
Oh.
Tim is like, okay, I guess if that's what you want and that's going to make you happy. So they take the cruise, but George is following them everywhere. So now Tim's starting to get annoyed. And this is where things start to fall apart.
How did George not get in trouble?
You know what? The cruise ships are huge. I guess as long as you're doing what you need to do for your duties. Like I said, he wasn't like a high up ranking engineer.
True.
So he managed to pull it off. But when they get back from this cruise, Julie plans another trip. This time she says it's a girl's trip, but it's really just a ruse. She goes on a trip with George, leaves the baby with her mom. And when her mom finds out, her mom like blows up at her. Tim's suspicious at this point. Like everything's just blowing up. So Tim confronts Julie, asks her like, hey, what's going on? Do you want to go with this guy? And she takes so long to answer him that Tim says, you know what? Never mind. Fuck off. I want a divorce.
Good. Good for him.
Yeah. So that's the end of what was Julie's stable and safe home.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah. At first, Julie tries to have George move to New Jersey to stay with her. She's now staying with her mom and her daughter. But this does not go well. Because George is violent. He fights with Julie and also with everyone in general. Plus, he refuses to work. He wants to just mooch off of Julie. At one point, he gets into a fight with Julie's mom and punches her in the face.
Jesus.
Yeah. After that, Julie's mom takes off and tells Tim, like, that's not a safe house. You need to take Katie out of there, their daughter. So Tim takes custody of Katie. He tells the court that Julie's home is not safe while George is living there. And instead of prioritizing her daughter, Julie just lets this happen. She's just picking George over everything.
That's fucked up.
It is. It's messed up. Again, selfish. So,
yeah, selfish.
Yeah. She actually ends up leaving the country and moves to Greece with George. Because he's like, I don't like New Jersey. I'm moving back. I think he also was just getting in a lot of trouble here. With like every time he tried to work, he was fighting with people. So, you know, and he didn't have papers to stay. He's like, nah, I'm getting out of here. You can come with me or you cannot. So she goes to Greece to stay with him.
Jeez.
I think Julie had just lost everything at this point. She put all her chips on George. And the idea of it not working out after all of this is something she can't even handle thinking about.
Well, yeah, she put all of her eggs in one basket. She's using drugs, drinking, smoking. Yep. I mean, it's just that combination of those things that don't lead to healthy choices.
No. And I'm sure, you know, her depression is raging. She's not taking medication for it because George tells her that he thinks that medication messes with your body. Okay, but the drugs and alcohol don't? All right. He's just, you know, we know he's violent, so I can just imagine what it was like behind closed doors for them. He forces her to lie to his family. He tells her, you can't tell my family that you've ever been married or that you have a daughter. So she's miserable in Greece. The money she's gotten from the settlement, he's using it up. He uses it up on dead-end business ventures. And Julie starts to realize this is not working. George is also cheating on her. She knows about it. He quits his job on the cruise ship. He's like, oh, yeah, well, I quit work so I could spend more time with you. I don't think so. So most people think, we don't know for sure because almost nobody from Julie's past life was speaking to her at this point. But they think she was trying to come back to the States at this point.
Oh, okay.
Because she had one friend, Sue, that she is still occasionally talking to. And she says that at this point, Julie was saying that she was finally waking up to how George was treating her and how he had used her. And she was ready to break it off. But George was furious. He was refusing to let go. And when Julie said she was leaving, he snapped. On January 11th of 1999, George calls randomly this friend, Sue, the only one she's still in contact with. And he says he can't find Julie. And at first, Sue thinks, great, she's on her way back home. She's come to her senses and she's left your ass. But he says no, because her passport's still here in the apartment. So the alarms go off. Oh, Sue calls Tim. Everyone's calling around to see if anyone's heard from her. And I do think it's incredible how even though she had thrown in the towel on all these people in the end, they still pulled through for her, especially Tim. The police get involved. She's reported missing. And things spiral down pretty quick. The police interview George. And at first, of course, he gives them a couple of bullshit stories. But the truth comes out surprisingly quick. On January 8th, George and Julie were having a fight in the car on a desolate road. Julie tells George that she had packed up her stuff and shipped it to the airport. And some of it back to New Jersey. And she tells him, I'm leaving you. That's when 23-year-old George strangled 31-year-old Julie to death.
Jesus. Then
he takes her body into the forest and he tries to burn the body. But the fire wasn't hot enough. So it just chars. Right? Because we know if you don't have an incinerator, that almost never works, right? They try to burn the house down or try to burn the body, but it's not hot enough to get rid of the remains.
Right.
So he sticks the burned body into the trunk, takes it to his grandmother's house, stuffs it into a suitcase. However, Julie doesn't fit.
Oh my God.
So he saws off her head.
What the fuck?
Then he carries all this back to the cruise ship and throws it overboard.
Are you serious?
Yeah. He even tells the police that he kissed her charred, decapitated head one last time before he threw her into the sea. Because he found it poetic that they met at sea and that they were parting at sea.
What the? I have no words, George.
Yeah. Poor Tim was the good guy until the end. He kept flying to Greece during the investigation and the trial. He spoke up for Julie when the tabloids tried to paint her as this slut. And instead, he made sure to stress that she was a young woman who was in a vulnerable place, that she was manipulated by this violent man. And he had to fly her body home without them ever finding the head.
Oh, good guy, Tim.
Yeah. The New York Post said, quote, "Investigators fear the head may have been consumed by a shark or other sea creatures."
Well, I'm sure that did happen.
Yeah. But George confessed all this to the Greek authorities. But instead of this helping to seal a solid case on him, he spins this and people buy this as like a crime of passion.
Oh my gosh, really?
He tries also to plead insanity too. He says he was distraught, that he went back afterwards and he tried to overdose on pills. But that was shut down real quick. They're like, no, you're not crazy. And clearly, whatever you tried to do to kill yourself didn't work. So no, we're shutting that down.
Good.
And they sentence him to life in prison.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do they have the death penalty there?
Probably not. Good question. I don't know. But it doesn't matter because he doesn't serve his life sentence.
Oh, really?
In 2003, with this whole, oh, it's a crime of passion bullshit, he appeals his sentence and the courts lower his term to 23 years.
Huh.
He only serves 8 years. So he's a free man now, out in the world, living his life after he killed this woman and threw her head in the ocean.
I wonder if he's still working for the cruise line.
No, but from what I understand, he did get married. He's a family man now with kids.
Oh, no way.
Yes. I don't know if whoever married him just has no clue what's in his past. I mean, how would you know if you don't do your research who you've met? I encourage everyone to do a thorough background check. I mean, how would you know? You meet some nice guy on the street. I mean, I don't know how he wouldn't eventually show his real colors. I don't think you can saw someone's head off and not show some kind of red flags in your next relationship.
Jesus. I'm like stunned that he only served 8 years. That, I mean, Tim could have had every right to be like, fuck her. Fuck this bitch. Like, she right? left me.
Very publicly embarrassed.
Yeah. But he was a stand-up guy and stayed. I mean, he is the father of their child, so he has to set an example, but he still could have been like, nope, I'm taking my kid, we're moving, I'm retiring to a far-off island, don't contact me.
Right, right. I mean, look, I mean, we say he has to set an example, but he doesn't have to. He could have sat back and said, look, this is a great example of what happens when you turn to drugs and alcohol and instead of finding the right help, instead of coming to the people who love you and asking for help. You know, he could have spun it a different way and still come out looking like roses, but he did the right thing, or at least the right thing that felt right to him and, you know, didn't abandon her, even in the end, was trying to protect her name, was loyal to her. So, I mean, I just thought that was wow. Like he really had this capacity for forgiveness and affection for her, even after all of it. That I don't know that I would have had that. I definitely would have been in the petty department.
I'm definitely the type of person that can forgive, but I would never forget. And so I would have really tough time.
Yeah.
Helping. I think because I'm a doctor, I think that Julie just had never been challenged and she got away with just quitting everything. Like she didn't want to be a secretary. She wanted to do this. She wanted to quit high school. That she never had a proper challenge or something that she was actually passionate about to like get her on the straight and narrow. Does that make sense? Like,
yes, yes, definitely. I think that she needed someone to hold her accountable and no one ever did.
Which is a shame.
Yes. So, I mean, there's a lot going on. I think very, very clearly in hindsight, we can see how her body image and needing that external validation is a reflection of what she saw in her parents, their disintegration, because their marriage.
Her dad instilled that body image issue shit on her.
Right.
When he was like, well, I'm leaving you.
Yeah.
At our child's birthday party.
Right. Right. I mean, she saw this whole disintegration where, you know, my mom gained weight. So my dad stopped loving her. And so if I gain weight after I have my baby, maybe Tim will stop loving me and I'll be unlovable. And then what will happen to me? And so that's all swirling around in addition to whatever genetic components there are. And then, you know, compound that with this whole idea of I can do whatever I want. No one's going to stop me.
There's no repercussions.
Right.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
So, you know, all of this tied together is just, you know, and then she falls into the hands of this person at this time when she's in this really dark place. But I mean, really, somebody should have said something to her. You know, really, Tim, when she's leaving the baby behind to go party at night, you know, you have a newborn baby. That's not that moms can't go out. Absolutely. After you've had a baby, you need time to yourself. You need a break. And I am not at all saying that you have to be a slave to the baby. That's a great thing that Tim's willing to stay with the baby so that she can have some alone time. However, there's something that's reasonable. Like, okay, go out for a couple of hours, get a pedicure.
Go to a movie. Go hang out and have dinner with your friends. Yeah.
Or, you know, let me go with you as your husband to do some things. We'll leave the baby with a sitter or your mom.
Sure.
So I can see what you're doing. Like this idea that you're going to go out every night, getting drunk, coming home at all hours. That lack of supervision, it just feels like she was screaming for help.
For attention.
And, yes. And nobody was calling her out. And I understand. I completely understand where Tim was in his mind in a healthy place thinking, I'm letting her be her own person. I don't want to be controlling. I don't want to smother her. He thought he was doing the right thing. So I absolutely am not saying that, you know, a man should tell her what to do or put a leash on a woman or tell her where she can go. No. It's just that there's certain behaviors that should have just come up and been like, hey, can we talk about this?
Yeah.
You know, also, also, you know, why is this sailor calling our house all the time after we've come back from this cruise? Can we just talk about this friendship and like what that's about?
That's like, the thing. That was an opportunity for Tim to like put his foot down and be like, don't call this house. Lose the number.
Right. Or just like, I feel like when those kinds of friendships are made, as an adult, it's completely appropriate and I think called for you to get involved to make sure that things are on the straight. So, for example, when I went to nursing school as an adult, I became very good friends with, like, we were a very small class, and I became very good friends with some of the male students. And with one of my friends, Bill, in particular. However, I didn't really go anywhere alone with Bill. He wasn't constantly calling my house. And when we did have time together, like, he would come to the house, like Ron met him. It was involved. It was something that everything was transparent.
Sure.
There wasn't things that were hidden. It wasn't, you know what I mean? So I just feel like there needs to be open and honest transparency. So I'm not saying you can't make friends as an adult, but I just feel like Tim had too much of a hands-off approach. I don't know. It just seems like
there
a lot
to
of
be
red
boundaries.
Flags. Yes.
Just boundaries. Yeah. You can have adult relationships. I couldn't care less about who people are friends with,
but you
there's
should
an
know.
Appropriateness.
Yes. Yes. You should know what's going on. You know, you should sort of have this idea, you know, multiple calls a week and, you know, letters coming to the house. And
I'm actually listening to this and I'm kind of like, well, this doesn't apply to me because I do all of this to you.
It seems like a lot. I feel like there's so much I didn't go into. It's like they would go to parties in separate cars so that Tim would leave to go home, but she would stay out all night.
That's so sad.
Yeah. And I heard some people putting a spin on it like, oh, well, that's mature because they have different views and they're trusting each other. And I thought, I understand, like, once in a while, if that happened, like, you know, it's an important event. Someone needs to stay behind to make, like, connections. But to, like, constantly be on different levels like that.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think.
It just feels like there was a real disconnect.
Yeah, it's a real disconnect because, I mean, there's been times where Josh has told me, no, you go have fun, but he literally just goes home and goes to sleep.
Yes. And I could count on one hand the number of times that one of us has left the other behind. It's been like very specific events.
And exactly.
It's not like an all the time thing. And it just seems like they did this at vacation. They did this at parties. They did this when she would go traveling for her modeling and he would stay home and like she would go out. Like, it just feels like it happened constantly. So it just feels like so much was going on. Like, didn't you notice that, like, how bad her depression was with the postpartum? It just seems like there was so much that wasn't picked up. So,
yeah, that's sad.
It just seems like there's a lot that happened. And also, dude, what are you doing? Like, letting her walk up to you in a bar? She punched you in the face and you thought, like, she didn't need therapy for that.
And she was like, sorry, I was wearing a mitten.
Yeah, well, so I don't know if that incident happened during their marriage, but there was another time during her pregnancy that she punched someone at a sports event because somebody made a comment about how big she was as she was trying to squeeze through the aisles. And they made a comment about her belly and she turned around and punched them. And that was definitely during their marriage. And Tim knew about that and didn't say like, hey, like, you shouldn't be punching people and getting into fights like during your pregnancy. That's dangerous.
So use your words.
Like, yeah.
Like, when all else fails, just use your words. I mean, a punch for like a woman's body size. I mean, it's warranted. I get it. But you're at a sporting event. Use your words or give them the finger.
And I feel like, okay, you're not going to tell me that that wasn't a red flag. And she's drinking and smoking throughout her pregnancy, Tim. Like, come on. Like, there's definitely red flags you should not have been ignoring. Even if all the other things can be waved away as, oh, I wanted her to be her own free spirit. Okay, but all these other things were absolutely not okay.
Ugh.
Yeah, so that's that was the murder of Julie Nist.
I thought for sure when you said you were going to be doing a cruise ship story that you were going to be doing Amy Lynn Bradley.
Oh, I mean,
I think it was around the same time, like in the 90s. And then I don't know if she was sex trafficked or pushed off board or whatever, but I thought for sure that's what you were doing. And I was like, ooh, I wonder if there's an update. Oh. She's been spotted again.
Well, listen, when I was looking to do my story, I knew I wanted to do something related to a cruise.
Yeah.
There were a lot.
Right?
You would be surprised. There's a lot of murders that happen on cruise ships and during the cruise ships.
My favorite
little tidbit one I'll just throw in, because there wasn't a lot to the story, but it just made me laugh. There was a husband who killed his wife. However, his story when he ran inside the ship and was like, oh, my wife, he said that when they went out for a walk on the deck, that the wind blew her off. Except that the winds were only 5 miles per hour and like the ship was anchored.
What an idiot.
I mean, they recovered her body and it was clearly a strangulation. Like, she had no water in her lungs. Like, she had died before she even hit the water. So he didn't get away with it. It wasn't a big enough story for me to make like a whole episode out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So there were a lot. So
you have to be careful on your cruise ship.
Don't walk towards the edge.
Yeah, if you're with a loved one on a boat, pro tip, don't walk on the side. Walk towards the walls, the windows, the inside of the boat.
Yeah, it's dangerous out there, people.
Exactly.
So, yeah, hot tip.
Hot tip. Oh, that was a good story. That went somewhere I didn't exactly know where was it going, and I never heard of it before. So, snaps.
Thank you. Yeah, that's why I picked that one. There was a couple that were like, I had heard of them. I sort of knew where they were going, and this one like took a different turn with him killing her off the ship and where that all went. And I was drawn in with like the New Jersey tie. I'm like, oh. New Jersey girl. Nice. Also, like, you know, with her mom, like that whole thing with her mom being 100% indigenous Native American and how that played into like that whole urge to like, oh, I have to leave the reservation and get out there and find something different. And like how mm-hmm. wrong that went for them. Like, that's not always like looking for something that's different doesn't always work out well, but it's something that True. So many of us want, that urge to like, oh, I want something different than what I grew up with, and how that like backfires on us. I found that so sad.
Mm-hmm.
So I just like all those little twists and turns. I was like, oh, I'm going for that one.
That is quite the story. I wish I could shake all of those people. But like you said, hindsight is 2020. So.
Yeah. So.
Well, good story. I'm going to hit stop on this recording because, oh my God, do you hear that noise?
It sounds like you're in a wind tunnel.
It's a B-21 bomber taking off.
Cool.
The joys of being close to base because your husband's a firefighter at the airport.
I love it.
All right. I'm hitting stop right here.
Hey, everyone. everyone. I wanted to jump on here real quick and let everyone know how they can get a hold of us. Of course, we are on all social media channels. We're on TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. If you want to send us a message, tilldeathdoispartpodcast@gmail.com. And we're much more active on Instagram, tilldeathdoispartpodcast. If you have sent us a message and we haven't either responded or heard back from us, do not feel bad. It is not your fault. It's Natalia's fault. And with that being said, definitely like, follow, subscribe, review, share, all those fun things. See you later.